Remembering Babylon, written by David Malouf and read by Paul English. One day in the middle of the 19th century, when settlement in Queensland had advanced little more than halfway up the coast, three children were playing at the edge of a paddock when they saw something extraordinary. There were two little girls in patched gingham and a boy, their cousin, in short pants and braces, all three barefooted farm children not easily scared. They had little opportunity for play, but had been engaged for the past hour in a game of the boys' devising. The paddock, all clay-packed stones and ant trails, was a forest in Russia. They were hunters on the track of wolves. The boy had elaborated this scrap of make-believe out of a story in the fourth-grade reader. He was lost in it. Cold air burned his nostrils, snow squeaked underfoot. The gun he carried, a good-sized stick, hung heavy on his arm. But the girls, especially Janet, who was older than he was and half a head taller, were bored. They had no experience of snow, and wolves did not interest them. They complained and dawdled, and he had to exert all his gift for fantasy, his will too, which was stubborn, to keep them in the game. They had a blue kelpie with them. He bounced along with his tongue lolling, excited by the boy's solemn concentration, but puzzled, too, that he could get no sense of what they were after. The idea of wolf had not been transmitted to him. He danced around the little party, sometimes in front, sometimes to the side, sniffing close to the earth, raising his moist eyes in hope of instruction, and every now and then, since he was young and easily distracted, bounding away after the clipped insects that sprang up as they approached, or a grasshopper that rose with a ponderous whirring and rolled sideways from his jaws. Then, suddenly, he did get the scent. With a yelp of pure delight, he shot off in the direction of their boundary fence, and the children, all three, turned away to see what he had found. Lachlan Beatty felt the snow melt at his feet. He heard a faint, far-off rushing, like wind rolling down a tunnel, and it took him a moment to understand that it was coming from inside him. In the intense heat that made everything you looked at warp and glare, a fragment of tea tree swamp, some bit of land over there that was forbidden to them, had detached itself from the band of grey that made up the far side of the swamp, and in a shape more like a watery, heat-struck mirage than a thing of substance, elongated and airily indistinct, was bowling, leaping, flying towards them. A black, that was the boy's first thought. We're being raided by blacks. After so many false alarms, it had come. The two little girls stood spellbound. They had given a gasp, one sharp intake of breath, then forgotten to breathe out. The boy too was struck, but had begun to recover. Though he was very pale about the mouth, he did what his manhood required him to do. Holding fast to the stick, he stepped resolutely in front. But it wasn't a raid. There was just one of them. And the thing, as far as he could make out through the sweat in his eyes and its flame-like flickering, was not even, maybe, human.